Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at WeightWatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
Welcome along, everybody. We've had a midweek round, so we're sharing this far and wide with everybody. Terry is currently in, where is it? The Hotel Elba. Or have I given the game away there?
No. Hordes of people outside the hotel.
With umpar bands and stuff keeping you awake at night.
Yeah,
keeping rival co-commentators.
All 12 hunters for Graham and Graham Hunter and Pete Jensen and anyone else that's working this midweek on the... midweek round, which causes absolute chaos in Spanish football, doesn't it? Midweek round of football.
Yeah. Why can't they do it?
I don't. It's something we've spoke about for quite a few years, isn't it?
Where they
start prioritising games coming up at the weekends. So the managers of the teams that are in it. The only problem, difference, the issue is though, half the league are in the relegation battle.
Yeah.
So they can't start picking and choosing their games because in each round, one round to the next, you're jumping up four or five places or going down four or five places. So I don't think it's been as significant this round of games as when we say have at this stage of the year, five or six teams in the relegation issue. And they might look and think Alavés, for instance, were playing away to Real Madrid. In the past, I think we would have seen a reserve team from Alavés play against Real Madrid to save the best players for the weekend where they might have a better chance of winning. It hasn't been as significant this round because, as I say, you can't afford to be. Every game counts at this stage because, yes, we don't have a title race at the moment. That's possible that might happen. We have a race for European spots and we have half a division that could get relegated. So, not as many changes this week as we normally get in the midweek round where managers panic and start throwing games. And that hasn't been the case in this round. But there's still a degree of panic that there's three games in the space of 7 or 8 days.
Yeah, and it's not a great set of... wasn't a great round of football either, was it?
We didn't have a weekend round, did we?
Yeah.
So it's not like they had the weekend game and then midweek. They didn't have a midweek round. This is week 33, wasn't it? And then we go to 32 at the weekend.
Naturally.
That makes it even more confusing for the managers and the players and supporters. I guess there's an element of this game followed quickly by another one. There's one more midweek round coming up as well in the middle of May. So we will see then whether it's quietened down a bit with half the division. Maybe might be down to five or six teams then the relegation issue. Mm-hmm. But at the moment, everyone's got something to play for in the league.
Yeah. The other thing that, while we're just sorting out the admin of Spanish football, why not do the Copa del Rey final at the end of the season and just play this games at the weekend?
Exactly. That is it used to be, didn't it? If I remember rightly, I'm sure it used to. Mind you, I can remember going back years when Atleti beat Real Madrid. I'm sure that was a midweek game as well.
Yeah.
In the Copa del Rey final and the Bernabeu all those years ago. But there have been times where it has been. Or perhaps I'm wrong, perhaps it was just a Saturday night game and it wasn't the last game of the season. But no, I agree with you that it could have been done later in the season.
Yes. Right. Let's get down to business. So we've got the whole thing's a relegation battle. But we'll do Barcelona and Real Madrid first, because we know where our bread is buttered, basically, and what most people are here for. So we'll get those. And done and out of the way. Start with Barca and a real, I mean, I was going to say mixed bag of performance. I mean, they just weren't very good, but they won the game.
Yeah.
And the bad news is they've lost Lamine Yamal, hamstring injury. They're saying, so the rest of the season, which is what, we got a month, just over a month, but he'll be fine for the World Cup. But you can't be 100% certain of that, can you?
No, and It's a strange one. I mean, I apologise maybe for our commentary on that piece because it was confusing. Because he got fouled for the penalty, then takes the penalty, and then he goes to the ground. And it almost looked like we believed in the commentary that he was ill, you know, or maybe it had been a head injury we hadn't seen and, you know, a dizzy spell or something. Because it's unusual to see a player do a hamstring taking a penalty, which leads me to think, did he have it already? And I'm taking the penalty. He thought, that's it, that's enough. It's not going to get any better. He's young, he's naive, he's only 18. I know he's done wonderful things, but his decision making in that sort of instance where he hasn't had to make that choice before, you know, to suddenly declare I'm injured. So the way he went down after taking the penalty was baffling, to be honest. But it's an interesting one. I mean, I didn't think it could be that severe. But apparently, if he's going to be missing for the season, it is quite severe. Or are they just being cautious at the moment and we might see him back before the end of the season? Or will he wait until the summer now and the pre-World Cup friendlies for the national team? If they weren't 9 points clear, would they have made this announcement as quickly as they had? If they were 3 points clear or something, maybe they would have said 2 or 3 weeks and we'd take it from there. So it looks like they're being ultra cautious, and they should be. He's very young. We've kind of forgotten how much football he plays, the wear and tear that is involved in it. And to be honest, it's a miracle that he's gone this long without picking up more injuries, to be honest, with the amount of games he plays,
Yeah, but
which
we
has led
were.
to criticism. Hansi Flick got criticised for it. For hang on, this you know you've had Pedri, you've had Gavi, not him specifically, but Barcelona, Ansu Fati. Overplaying young players, are you guilty of that?
But when Lamine was coming through, I remember discussing with you a few times because I was of the view that he shouldn't play as much. But he was, I get it because he's so good and it's not like he's not a promising player, is he? He's an
Tempting.
excellent player now.
No.
So, and he is quite big and strong, isn't he, for a kid? So the temptation is to that, but then you have to be careful with him. So, you know, I don't want to see him back until the World Cup. And,
Yeah, if he's not needed.
yeah,
And it's
well.
going to be a shame if he's misses the Clásico. That would be a shame for Barcelona, a shame if you want to see all the.
Don't rush
This
him
year, the
back.
Barcelona first Clásico, Barcelona were missing loads of players, weren't they? And I think everyone was kind of looking forward to the last Clásico of the season, everyone being fit, which it doesn't happen. It looks like he's going to miss it. So it's a blow for Barcelona, but they do have the comfort of a 9-point cushion over Real Madrid.
Yeah. So this game against, so there were three chances in the first minute and 10 seconds or something. There was a chance before the clock was on the screen. So I don't know how
Yeah,
when that
Lamine,
first.
yeah. Ferran Torres closes someone down from kickoff, doesn't he? Lamine Yamal nearly scores, and then immediately Celta have two efforts.
And that was sort of the best of the game.
That was it. It was. And do you know what? These games between these two teams promise goals. So when that happened in the opening couple of minutes, you're thinking, oh, this could be anything, this scoreline. There's been 4-3s and 3-2s and comebacks, but it never materialised in this game. Celta were good. I thought Barcelona were awful, to be honest. Looked like they had a hangover from the coming out of the Champions League. And strange team selection from Hansi Flick. Strange in the fact that I thought he rushed his substitutions without giving it too much thought and not having. When Lamine Yamal went off, there was a pattern of play in the game that I thought he could have changed up. He could have changed it up, and he didn't. As soon as. But the first injury was Cancelo. And even by that stage of the game, I'm looking and thinking, that was 22 minutes. The pattern of the game is set. You could put Gerard Martin left back. You could put Eric Garcia at centre back. And you could bring Frenkie de Jong on. But literally, instinctive, as soon as Cancelo went down, it was bang, Balde, get stripped, you're on, without giving it too much thought. Even the Lamine Yamal substitution, it was right on the stroke of half time. It's 38 minutes, I think, when he scores and takes the penalty. Then there's a delay for him, a delay for the medical emergency in the stand. 8 minutes was added on. I thought then that was. I don't want to be too critical of Hansi Flick. I love what he's doing at Barcelona and how he's got his ID on the team from minute one till now. But he rushed that change, Rooney Badeschi coming on. And I thought, that's another substitution window. That's two gone. So, you know, keep your. Hold your nerve, get to half time, and then think about the so it's one thing that he does do on a quite an often quite a regular basis, an instant change without giving it too much thought, with the flexibility he has with players like Gerard Martin and Eric Garcia. So I thought that game was crying out for Frenkie de Jong, and when he came on, he made them better. I just thought it was that type of game in midfield where Barcelona wanted Celta were good in possession, Barcelona weren't, and they kept losing the ball, and Eric Garcia was dropping deeper and deeper and deeper, and there was an element of playing three at the back, and he was dropping too deep, and there was lack of control in midfield, and I just thought a Frankie de Jong would have made that better, which he did when he came on. But I was surprised how much Barcelona gave the ball away, and there were players in the team that give the ball away on a regular basis, and they've come through the system, which beggars belief. When you grow up as a kid at Barcelona, you know the importance of possession football, whether it's this style or Luis Enrique style or Pep style or whoever's been manager. That is a tradition at Barcelona, and Fermín López just gives the ball away for fun. Alejandro Baldi came on, and the last kick of the game really was a free kick where Celta could have scored from, which was gifted to them by a poor pass from Alejandro Baldi in deep in his left back position, where he plays the ball inside straight to a Celta player. They have to bring him down. It's a free kick that Marcos Alonso, I think, takes. Probably should have done better. And that could have been costly. It could have been 2 points. So I'm really surprised that those players that came through the system are not aware of what being a Barcelona player is all about. And they're easy passes. I mean, Fermín López shoots too much at times, but a lot of the times he's playing passes at 10, 15 yards and they straight to an opponent, and it's time and time and time again. And you give teams hope when your team's not playing well, and you give teams hope. And Celta are good, they played well, they made it difficult for Barcelona. But after that initial threat, they didn't really look like scoring a goal for the rest of the match.
Ferran had a goal, would have been a brilliant goal, ruled out. And then if people look at the VAR and think, who's offside on the
Well,
VAR?
we did it live in comms, which is probably not a good thing to do, but huh? It's offside. It was a tiny, tiny bit of arm. He's on one graphic, a slither of his bicep. But you're looking at the Celta Vigo's player's arm, and it's then you've got the judgment of, well, what part of the arm are we going on the Celta player? What part of the arm are we going on Ferran Torres? That was an obvious one where you think that, come on, we want to see goals. That was a great goal. I know Celta are glad it's disallowed, but in general, if you're watching games as I do as a neutral, you want to see goals, and that was a great finish. Lovely ball in, lovely volley, spectacular. It hits the crossbar and bounces down. Always looks makes a goal look better. I'm flabbergasted at that how it was done quite quick as well. It was really wrapped up pretty quickly, and you assume then, oh, it must have been well offside. And then you see that, and literally everyone, all the TV programs I'm watching, the newspapers I'm reading, it's kind of being used as an example of, well, where do we draw, literally, where do we draw the line on what's offside and what's not offside now? And what's level? I mean, it's that was one of the closest I've seen.
It wasn't quite as egregious as Lewandowski's giant foot from, was that last
And there
season?
was I've seen one with a face with a nose that's been offside. Not sure if he's in La Liga or the Premier League, but I have seen, or Champions League, I've seen a nose offside. But it is, I mean, Arsene Wenger's come up with a plan, hasn't he, that daylight, isn't it, or something. But then again, how much, I mean,
He's wrong.
is he? I've really looked into it, but there has to be an alternative to what we saw. I mean, we used to, before VAR, level. Oh, he's level. He's onside. But we did have like the equivalent of a photo finish, which we've got now. And I mean, how do you play it? Is it
I think
black
it's
and white?
I think it's easily solved. Lots of people are black and white, but it's not quite black and white because in this case, we're not, like you say, you're not quite sure what they've measured it from because it just doesn't look offside. But I because if you're using technology, you can calibrate it however you want. So it doesn't need to be Arsene Wenger's whole daylight because daylight's massive. You could be sprint the sort of speed these fellows sprint. Could be like a meter between them, or a yard between them. Certainly, if you're
Your back foot could
your
be
back
a,
foot and
yeah, is
and his
let,
chasing foot just ever
yeah.
so slightly cross over. That's insane, Wenger's one. But you could calibrate it and just think, This is just for old men, I think, where you just say, listen, if we just calibrate it, we'll just give 10 millimeters or 20 millimeters to the striker, and that will ruling out silly ones like this Ferran
A
Torres one.
photo finish with a slither of a muscle on the bicep.
What, because he's been in the gym too much and his with his biceps a bit big,
So, but
there
that
we
one
are.
is being used. That one will be used and has been used. I'm sure there are others to come up with a alternative to what we see at the moment. That's one of the closest I have seen. We had a couple of issues this week with the goal line technology where VAR had to intervene. And why not have that in La Liga, goal line technology?
That makes no sense. Never has.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2 hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor-recommended weight loss program. Lose more at WeightWatchers.com.
At 6 months, participants in a clinical trial of Weight Watchers program lost an average of 12 pounds.
Openness is the answer to that, isn't it?
I mean, if the ball doesn't go out of play, the play continues until VAR gets the game stopped. So you could have another 2 or 3 minutes of play between the ball going out and the referee stopping it and going,
oh, it was a goal, by the way. Remember?
That was a goal, So there was a couple of those this week, given as a goal, not given as a goal. Nico Gonzalez, one was given as a goal, other goals weren't. And yeah, goal line technology is... I kind of forget about it until it happens and you think, oh, yeah, they haven't got the watch. It doesn't buzz on the...
Yeah, honestly. Honestly, it's ridiculous. Right, let's move on to a toxic atmosphere at the Bernabeu Stadium where you score a goal, you have to apologise.
It had me checking that Vinicius hadn't played for Alaves in the past.
His Alaves days that you've forgotten
about. I'm
pretty
sure he hadn't. I thought I maybe missed a loan spell or something because he scores a goal at the Bernabeu, fantastic goal.
Yeah.
And immediately apologises. And even when they scored, there was boos and whistles.
It was a weird...
It's like a Colosseum there now, isn't it? It's
sort
like a...
You know what, Mike, I've got a slightly different perspective. It wasn't quite as hostile as I thought it was going to be from the build-up. Oh, they're going to go out there. Oh, they're going to
but
go
why
out
should
there.
Why should it be?
Yeah.
I know. It's turning into this lion's den, isn't it, for Real Madrid players? And it looks almost... Sometimes you see the crowd and they're laughing when they're jeering and whistling.
Yeah.
It's become like a sport. And it's like... It is... It's very Colosseum-like, being thrown into the lion's den and playing, putting on the white shirt, the white strip of Real Madrid and playing at the Bernabeu when you're probably not going to win anything for the second year on the trot. And people just coming there to barrack you and boo you and jeer you. I can't think of any other club like it, to be honest.
No, it wasn't even that hostile. It was like you say, a bit of indifference in there.
It's in fun. It's like a... joke.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, let's join in.
Hey,
we can
do a
whistle
player. Oh, we're all here to boo. And honestly, it's like the weirdest atmosphere because then it's a stilted atmosphere. The game wasn't particularly good.
No.
They would get moments with Real Madrid, don't you? That's what you get. And that's what's been now for a couple of years, isn't it? Where there was one bit where they played, it was like Trent and Bellingham, and they played like three or four, like massive. Amazing crossfield passes, and you think how good they are, and then like a scrappy 10 minutes where nothing really happens.
They've still got this massive issue. You look at the lineup, and it's got 4-4-2. It's completely wrong. Half a dozen players play down the left. Nothing's on the right. All the attacks go down the left. Nothing on the right. It's a massive issue. It is foolhardy that a manager Arbeloa is not going to change it. But if you are a good coach and you've got a good team, it's something you can guard against and it's something you can exploit. Until that changes, and this is 2 years on the trot now,
Yeah.
I mean, they've got down. If you look at the lineup, Mbappe and Vinicius up front, they both drift out to the left. Vinicius plays out on the left. Mbappe drifts out to the left. Bellingham drifts out to the left. Arda Güler drifts out to the left. Guerreiros pushes forward. Trent Alexander-Arnold pushes forward, but they can't as much because even Fede Valverde wasn't playing in on the right. He was in central position. It's the shape of their team is so wrong, and it's to accommodate players that want to play there. It's got fundamentally, it's got to change. You can't have a fantastic team and expect to be so obvious with your tactics and weakness, strengths and weaknesses that good teams, good managers, they'll adapt and they'll deal with it. They'll deal with the threat down the left from Real Madrid, but they'll exploit the weakness on the right. And it until that changes, and it's not going to change this season. Is it going to change with a new manager who has to have the authority to say at some stage, well, Mbappe, you're the centre forward, Vinicius, you're on the left, and you have to play a right winger. You can't play a fudge it with a midfield player that might be out there, and you're going to have to play 4-3-3. If you can't play 4-4-2 with Mbappe and Vinicius because they're both on the left, it needs a massive change.
And so let's do the game, and then I'll ask you the other question. So Mbappe gets the first goal with a bit of luck. I mean, he takes on a
Yep,
shot
deflection. Yeah.
from long range, doesn't he? And Alaves, they had chance. Tony Martinez had chances, and Lunin made some good
Yeah.
saves, didn't he? So and they got then they get a goal in 93 when it's all a bit too late.
Exactly.
And
But
Vinny's goal was magnificent. Exactly what
yeah.
I frequently say he needs to do more if he wants to consider himself a Ballon d'Or. So that's the whole thing around Vinny, isn't it? It's like you say you're a Ballon d'Or, you say you're not going to follow a tactical plan, so we're here. So this is the sort of thing he should be doing more often. And then he does it and then immediately apologizes for doing it.
The mindset of him, it must be. I mean, there's no news on his contract,
Yeah.
so the fact there's no news suggests to me that obviously the parties can't agree, or they haven't agreed. I wonder what he thinks. Every now and then we hear him say that he wants to stay at Real Madrid for life. I get that. Why would you want to leave unless you want to go and pick up the money? But the fact it's not happening makes me wonder. I mean, Real Madrid can't afford it to run down and let him leave for nothing. That's a definite no. I don't know what the mindset of Vinicius is, and the fact that he is what he is. There's things that you can love about him, there's things you can really dislike about him, but there's no doubt in his talent. It's just harnessing that talent in the right way. But then when he plays for Real Madrid at home and he's getting booed and jeered and whistled, and then he plays away from home and he's getting booed and jeered and whistled. Can't be easy. You might be able to put up with getting booed away from home at every stadium, but you expect to play in your own stadium and not get booed and whistled. There's no comfort for him anywhere. I mean, yes, there are reasons why, and he is one of the players at Real Madrid that's the more celebrated players that Real Madrid have, and when they're not winning trophies for 2 seasons on the trot, and he is high profile. I get it, but it's just weird that, as I say, I think it's become like a sport now. There's so many games left at home for Real Madrid, and people are buying a ticket to go and boo and whistle.
Yeah, because I think with him that it's hard to get a transfer. I think at the moment it's hard to get transfers through that are massive because of the tightening of the financial rules. And so he and his agent are obviously still wanting, probably wanting a pay rise. And then, the option is we'll just sell him to a Premier League club or Saudi club or whatever. Obviously, there's the world situation affecting Saudi, but the Premier League is very much affected by their financial restrictions, so they can't just drop 150 million out of nowhere.
No.
So you just can't do it. So he might be the first one who you sort of think, mate, you're just gonna have to get less than you thought
Yeah.
because we can't. Break the rip. We can't break the rules now because UEFA are bringing them in, and the leagues are bringing them in. So yeah, manager of Real Madrid. So I'll give you a list, Terry. Carlo Ancelotti, Zinedine Zidane,
You've got Florentino Perez's phone, haven't you? You've hacked his phone. Yeah, that's it. I mean, and it's looking increasingly likely that it's going to be Jose. I mean, it'd be great for La Liga in terms of high profile, and it's going to be there'll be controversy along the way. And but I think it's going to be, I think
You
it's going to be
think,
him.
yeah.
And I he's going to have to build some bridges because he annihilated Vinicius in the recent game against Real Madrid, the new coach in Benfica. So that bridge has got to be rebuilt. And Mbappe, there was a post this week in, I don't know, it was in a newspaper or it was online somewhere, a picture of Jose with, I think it was with Ronaldo and Mesut Ozil back in the day, standing between the two players, and they put the year up that that picture was taken, and then they put 2026 Jose in the middle of Kylian Mbappe and Arda Güler, and Mbappe liked it on social media, which led to the press conference, them asking Arbeloa what he thought about it. He said he doesn't particularly care. I mean, what's he going to say? He can't say anything. He'd be hoping probably for an assistant job with Mourinho, maybe, which probably will happen. I can see that. I can see that happening. I can. It'd be back page, front page news for La Liga, bring attention to the league. Whether it's the right choice or not, I wouldn't underestimate Jose Mourinho. It'd be interesting, though. He's going to, and especially at the age he is now, where he doesn't give a shit, he will liven the players up. And perhaps that's the appeal from Florentino Perez, that he won't take any grief. But it's going to be interesting. You know, he's not going to come and just let everyone else do the signings and transfers and tell him who to pick, what system to play. He's going to come in and be Jose Mourinho. And Florentino Perez knows that. Perhaps that's what he wants. What we see from him, I don't know. I've made the point about how they play. Jose Mourinho must have done it. He's played against them recently, and everyone knows it. What will he do to change it? I think it's easy to change it, to be honest. I think Vinicius on the left and Mbappe up front, and you have got Rodrigo when he's fit. That's your front three, and tell Mbappe, look, I don't mind you swapping bit fluent, you know, to keep it fluent up front. But you can't have those two, Mbappe and Vinicius, as your two centre forwards, and they both play left wing. That's just ridiculous. And you have to give some discipline to Jude Bellingham and say, look, we don't want you out on the left as well. You know, we've got you, we've got Carreras, we've got Camavinga when he plays, got Mbappe, you've got Vinicius, we've got half a bloody team out on the left wing. It's obvious, it's schoolboy stuff. He might have to change it. And also the fact that Real Madrid have got these superstars, they don't want to keep 2 years on the trot, not win anything. They don't want a third year, not win anything. No, they want to. We know we make all sorts of accusations about, I don't, but people do, but oh, they don't care. They're earning hundreds of thousands of euros a week. And they do care. They don't want to see Barcelona winning the league every year. They don't want to see them getting knocked out of the Champions League too early. And they want to be in finals. They do care. Trust me. And perhaps this might be the right time for Jose to come back and get that team shape and discipline and winning mentality back. It's going to be fun. I actually genuinely believe it's going to happen now. When it first was pointed out, I thought, no chance. They can go back to Jose Mourinho. A month or two later, I'm now thinking, now done.
It makes sense. Partly, I mean, we're only
It
half
doesn't.
joking, aren't we, that Florentino Perez only knows three football managers, or certainly only seems to trust three football managers because everyone else he brings in, he sacks them five minutes later. So so in that sense, well, of course it makes sense because he's someone who's not going to be sacked 5 minutes later. But also, it's not. He's been there before, so he knows the drill. He knows the club. The club hasn't changed that much, has it? It's still Florentino
No,
Perez, and it's
no.
still a load of Galacticos. They're
Yep.
different Galacticos than the ones he had
Yep.
before, but the same. The dynamics don't seem to have changed that much. He knows the Spanish press. He used to be more entertaining. I haven't really followed him in Portugal
No, I haven't as much.
as to whether
We
because
haven't.
he was really entertaining in the first part of his career, and then he started lose. Then he got ratty, and his third there was a Jose third season thing, wasn't there? And then that just became quicker and quicker later. He got grumpier and grumpier, quicker and quicker. But I don't know. He might have mellowed out a bit again now. Now he's a bit older. But also, he's
And
not
it's a job
he.
he won't turn down. He wouldn't turn it down, would he? I don't think.
With all due respect to a great club in Benfica, you'd obviously go back to Real Madrid. But also, he's not going to come with a mighty long-term project. And it's not like someone like Klopp, I would say. If you like said appoint a manager to a football club and didn't tell me which one it was, I'd say, oh, Klopp above Mourinho, obviously, because Klopp's a better manager than Mourinho. No, he's more up to date than Mourinho. Mourinho's won more than Klopp in his career. But I would go
but
Klopp.
The fit,
Real Madrid,
the fit,
yeah, I wouldn't.
The fit is better with Jose than Klopp. I totally agree with that. Totally agree with it, how you put that. Really do. I think it's an obvious one now.
Yeah.
It makes sense. I mean, we're talking, you're hearing, you know, this manager, that manager, Pochettino and Allegri and one or two others, and thinking, no, Jose.
Yeah, right. So if you could just make up a few contacts, Terry, and we'll firm this up over the next few weeks and claim it as an exclusive.
That everyone else is suddenly the slowly... The slow realization. It's going to be Jose. Arbeloa as his assistant. Honestly, I'm not just saying that. I mean, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for Arbeloa to go. Actually, I was B team manager for 6 months. I got elevated to. It's ridiculous. He's manager around Madrid.
He can also do the thing that he's good anyway. He can still do that as the assistant manager, can't he? He can still be everyone's mate. And
Zidane did that before taking over from Ancelotti. So in 2 years' time, Arbeloa is appointed as manager. He'd be better suited than what he is now.
Yeah.
It's amazing that it does happen. People that run football clubs, I'm not saying this about Real Madrid, but it beggars belief sometimes the decisions people make regarding the unimportance of a manager. That's what annoys me. The manager is the most...
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at WeightWatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
It's an important person at the club. And some big clubs now think it's not important.
Yeah.
And they think other people are more important at the club. Directors of football and the owners and the presidents and the chairman and... Oh, yeah, we'll have him as manager. And it'd be fine because everything else is all right. And you're thinking, no, it won't. It clearly isn't. It doesn't work.
It's interesting that, isn't it? Because obviously...
I'm referring to Chelsea.
Yeah, well, let's very quickly. We've got a lot of Spanish to get through. Let's very quickly do Chelsea. What I've got this... I'll try and articulate it, is that the amount of attention paid to a manager is at 99% of... the blame of a club gets put on the manager. And then, because we never see the chairman, whoever runs the club, we never see or hear from them. So every week, the manager, so in Liam Rossini's case, every week he had to sit there. And in their case, it's obviously the ownership have made so many mistakes. They've blown 1.6 billion in transfers.
Never got a goalkeeper, centre half, or a centre forward.
It didn't occur to them, or any experienced players. But they've gone through, and so poor old Liam Rossini's got to sit there, and he's answering every question. And what he can't say is, oh yeah, but the people who employ me are idiots. He can't, obviously. But that's the answer.
Have a job. That was the case. And Arbeloa is similar to that, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah,
he hasn't got the qualifications to be manager of Real Madrid. Jose Mourinho has, and if Arbeloa goes, and if Mourinho comes in, I'm pretty sure he'll keep Arbeloa. If Arbeloa wants that, he might turn around and say, "No, I've been a manager now. I can't go back to being an assistant. Yeah. I'm going to go and apply for the job at Villarreal or Athletic Club." And
he can do
he's
that.
Not going to get it
as Real Madrid's number two, can't he? You can apply.
Yeah,
you can do a year with Mourinho. Hopefully win a trophy or two, and then he can apply for...
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. Jose and other coaching staff, Arbeloa will stay on as a first-team coach.
Right, you can,
and then Mbappe, the next assistant.
you can either hold us to that, or we'll weasel out of it and pretend we never said it. One or other.
Or blame one of our contacts.
Yeah. Right, let's move on. So everything else is the relegation battle, more or less. Actually, not quite the case. Betis won a game, hey. But I've just got this nagging doubt that every now and again, as the manager of Atletico Madrid, you should try and win a football match.
Yeah, it's, do you know what? I'm really interested in this because they're losing every game in La Liga pretty
Yeah,
much.
every
I
game.
don't know how it's affecting them mentally going into the Champions League games against Arsenal. I don't know whether they're able to brush it off as if, well, we ain't playing with the real the starting 11 and not playing. Does it affect morale? Does it affect confidence? They're going into a game like the Arsenal game with a losing streak. I don't
Yeah,
know. I
but
mean,
they're the most rested footballers in the world.
yeah, and 57 points. Working on the game last night, Pete Jensen was telling me about Depor getting relegated to be 43 points years ago. It hasn't been anywhere like that. We've got Oviedo at bottom with 28 points and still got a chance, six games to go. So but you're thinking, where are the points gone? And, well, they're not Atletico Madrid, who are clearly fourth. They're not going to get caught by Betis. And they've got 57 points. 57 points at this stage of the season, you're not normally fourth. But for somehow this season, it's the points are all in the bottom half of the league, and it is really interesting how it's gonna. We don't know the answer. I mean, are they if they were to get through against Arsenal, are they going to do this until the final? And they're playing PSG or Bayern Munich,
Right,
and they're
so they're
not
only 8
playing
points
players. And
ahead of
Julian
Betis.
Alvarez didn't play. Sorloth wasn't in the squad. I don't think Alvarez was. Some of the big hitters came on two at half time, three in the second half. Yeah, it is bizarre. It's panning
Now,
out. And they didn't have a game last weekend. Oh no, they did. They were in
they
their
played
way
the,
final.
yeah.
Yep. So I kind of get why they're doing it.
It's right. So they play Elche. Elche needed a win, and along comes Dr. Simeone to make you
Yeah.
better. Sevilla's only win in living memory was
Yeah.
against this
Yeah. They're
half
really buggering up
Atletico.
the relegation battle. Atletico Madrid, they've let it. If you're one of the other teams in that relegation battle, you think, oh, come on, for God's sake. You've gifted
You'd
Sevilla a
have
win,
looked
you've
down the
gifted
fixtures.
Elche a
Oh,
win.
they've got Atleti. Oh, that's a tough game.
Yeah.
They'll be lucky to get anything from that. And then, I mean, they only won 3-2 against 10 men because Almada made an
Yeah,
absolute
ridiculous.
hash of a situation, and they gave the
Yeah.
ball away and then gave a foul away. He managed to give the ball away, gave a penalty away, and got sent off.
Yeah. I don't know what he was thinking. Initially getting dispossessed that close to his own goal. It's almost like he pulled the player down, thinking the referee was going to give him the foul if he stops the game. If I pull him back and stop that, the referee's going to give the foul to me. No. The referee didn't give the foul. And then you pulled a shirt. It wasn't the worst shirt pull, but it's a shirt pull. And sending off. And it's those fringe players, they're getting opportunities. Some are taking it, some are not. And to be honest, he's been pretty good this season when he's had the playing time, but that was a massive error in this game. Early as well.
And so Afan Gruber looked like Beckenbauer in this
Yeah.
game. Scored a goal, set one up. André Silva scored the penalty and then scored the other goal. But Nico Gonzalez, we need to talk about
Yeah.
a couple of one super team goal that he scores, and then
Yep.
the other one that is it's a really untidy
It's a
VAR.
goal of the season contender.
But you sort of miss it. Because there's a whole, is it in play or out of play? And then they showed the thing, but they've left the graphic over the top of the ball. So you can't see that whether the ball's in. As they're showing the replay, you think, I still can't tell if it's in play. And then he sort of flicks it up, knocks it over the player's head, heads it in.
Yeah,
So
really,
eventually
really
it's
good
given.
goal.
So it's a goal. It
Yeah.
is a goal. It is a great goal.
And he's been good, hasn't he? I mean, he had the sending off against Barcelona the other week, it was ridiculous. In general, he's been good. But they're, again, it just emphasises why the frustration that they're so far behind Barcelona. Because when you see these other players, Rodri Mendoza was involved in the build-up for that first goal. New signing. He's been good when he's played. And Obed Vargas has looked promising as well. Cardoso, we know he's a good player. Some of these players that are playing in this game, you're looking and thinking, I mean, Alex Baena was big money signing. He's pretty much in the B team now, isn't he? It's the squad is tremendous, but the way that the season is, I mean, Simeone is probably quite relaxed about it. No injuries. Some players had Pubu and Molina come on at half time. They were run out for half a game. 60 minutes, Griezmann, Barrios, and Giuliano Simeone come on. They've had a run out for half an hour. So that's how it is for Atleti at the moment. But as you say, as I said, if you're Mallorca and you're Valencia and you're drawing that night and you're looking at the game coming up and Atletico Madrid going to Elche, you're thinking, we need Atleti to beat Elche. We're in a relic. Oh, they've blown it again.
Yeah. Yes.
But it is going to be interesting to see how it pans out. Arsenal going at it hammer and tongs and into try and win the Premier League. And then go straight into the games against Atleti. They're not going to be able to ease up. Atleti, in between the two games, are going to rest everybody, aren't they? So it is going to be interesting. It literally is all or nothing on the cup and the Champions League. Massive blow for them to lose the Copa del Rey final, because that was probably their easiest chance of a trophy this season. And then the fact they didn't win that has now put pressure on them in the champ, more pressure on them in the Champions League, because going trophyless again. That many points behind in La Liga, losing a cup final against Real Sociedad, that would ultimately, if they go out against Arsenal, be a poor season.
Yeah. Right. Let's get down into the world of the six pointers, of which there are plenty. I mean, we flagged this up a month or two ago, didn't we? The half the league and more were in a relegation battle, and they all play each other towards the end of the season, particularly this midweek. So let's start with, I want to say, Levante, Terry. You've had a very, very
Yeah.
good week indeed, because they beat Getafe. They've won three out of four. And they beat Sevilla in this game. Sevilla, an absolute mess at the moment, aren't they? So from Levante, well, they always had this run of fixtures coming up that suggested they could get out of it. So even when the table looked horrible for them a month ago or something like that, you're thinking, well, I don't know, there's a winnable run of games, and then now they're properly back in, aren't they? So they won this couple of goals from Ivan Romero. Got to call him out for a dive early on
Yeah,
in it.
that clearly was, wasn't it? That was,
Yeah.
yeah, and do you know what? He's laughing as
Yeah.
if to say this ain't gonna be given. I'm
Yeah.
just like, and it wasn't a dive. He constructed contact.
He's fishing for contact, isn't he? Yeah.
He sticks
Yes.
his leg right across, doesn't
Yeah.
he? And it was chanting. It was Goodell.
Yeah.
Goodell's just running, and Romero sticks his leg out and kicks him,
Yeah.
and goes spins around and goes down. So I was kind of glad that. Yeah, I
Yeah.
was glad that wasn't given. And it clearly wasn't. So the right decision was given there. Levante, they've got a chance. I mean, they've found goal scorers. Carlos Espi has been in great form. Even Romero, the ex-Sevilla player, which I didn't realise until he'd scored and kept apologising, got both goals. I don't get that. You're at home. Everyone in the crowd, in the stadium, is going berserk. Teammates, people on the bench, 90% of the stadium are going berserk. And you're apologising to like 5 or 10%, which is probably about 200 Seville supporters. Yeah. I get it if he scored two goals at the Sanchez-Pizjuan, not over celebrating, but come on, mate, join in the fun. It's your job. You just played six games. I had to check, and it was like, oh, he did. He played six games. Completely forgot. So Espy's getting goals. He's getting goals. They're a decent team, and I've been saying it for a long time. It's great that we haven't got a rubbish team in the league this year. Which we've had in the past, Vardy did last season. We've had others in the past as well. I think Elche were one season. Levante have been another season, and they've all got a chance of staying up. And a massive game at the weekend, Levante, Espanyol Levante. I thought Levante were dead and buried. They're not. I thought Oviedo were dead and buried. They probably still are, but they're not. And this was a fantastic win. Sevilla, some of the wayward finishing. I mean, they had four or five really good opportunities. They're not sitters. But they're blazing their shots high and wide, and then just making too many errors. Obviously they're in danger.
Yeah. I looking at Sevilla, like you're looking at Jose Mourinho, and you sort of think, just suddenly little point, we think, oh right, that's going to happen, isn't it? They're going to go down, aren't they, Sevilla? The rate they're going, I'm beginning to think that they're probably the favourites for the third relegation place. I mean, not in it at the moment, are they? But
And this has
they're,
been coming, John, hasn't it? I mean,
yeah.
we've discussed Sevilla a lot on this. They've changed the manager again. Luis Castro, give him credit at Levante. He's turned around their form. Sevilla, I just look at it and think, it's not the manager. It's the quality of players. It's the general mood around the club. It's toxic. We talk about Real Madrid being toxic at the moment because of probably not going to win a trophy, but Sevilla is toxic even more.
So this fits in with that point about how important the manager is. Obviously hugely important, but sometimes a club can be such a basket case that you could
it's out
go
of
in
control.
there. Yeah, Pep could go in there and you think, no. And the answer is he wouldn't. He'd look at it and think, no thanks. You know, I don't need that. And so you end up with someone like Luis Garcia Plaza going in there and doing his best. He's not a bad choice. I don't think anyone thinks he's a bad choice, but I'm not sure he can save them. I'm not sure he's going to save them. Rayo Vallecano got a 1-0 against Espanyol. Espanyol, I just wondered, Terry, if you lose every single game in the second half of the season, whether you might end up getting relegated.
I'd said it a long time ago that they weren't safe, you know, they've got to get more points. This is their recent form, and I did the game, so I've got all my stats in front of me. Pages and pages of it. And they've now got 5 points from the last 15 games. 5 points out of 45. They've got 1 point in the last five. Last night, they have a penalty with Kike Garcia. It's a decent effort. He's not fanning around with a penalty and stuttering and taking a Panenka. He takes it properly. It's a good save from Danny Cardenas, who's out. We'll come to him in the minute. And then Premier bottles it at the far post with an open goal header, where it's a corner and he's at the post, at far post unmarked, inside the post. So he's only got to head it properly. I think he's scared of someone colliding with him, and he sort of flinches, and it comes skims off his head and goes past the post. And it was inevitable then, and it could have gone either way this game. But when they miss chances like a penalty and literally an open goal, then you kind of fear the worst, and I'm sure the players do. I'm sure the manager does. I'm sort of sure the supporters do. In this current run of form, where you're thinking everything's going against us, and then Rayo put on a goal scorer who doesn't score goals, and he scores a goal, and that sums it up. And right, this could have gone either way. Both teams had good spells in the game. Both teams were poor in the game as well. And it's a massive problem for Espanyol. It really is. And their running is really, really tough, I think, anyway. Levante this weekend at home, they have to win that.
Yeah.
Or avoid a defeat.
Yeah, that's Monday, isn't it?
They have to win. But Levante going into it in confident mood, good form. Real Madrid at home, that's going to be tough. I know Real Madrid, by that stage, Real Madrid still will have a mathematical chance of...
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Winning the league, so they'll be going at it. They've got Sevilla away. That's a six-pointer. God knows what's going to happen in that game. Athletic Club at home. Athletic will be going for Europe. Osasuna away. Osasuna could be going for Europe. And they finish with Real Sociedad at home. They could be going for Europe. So that's an incredibly tough fixture list for a team that haven't won since December the 22nd. It's incredible. I mean, they had 33 points before Christmas. They're now on 38. It's 4 months. I can't imagine what it's like, I've said it before on a podcast, to be a fan of a team that haven't won a game in 2026. I just don't know how you would react.
It'll come, Terry.
I heard that Mets are the worst team on the current run, followed by Spurs and Espanyol. So the least amount of points accumulated in the top five European leagues since Christmas. So Mets have got less than Espanyol and Spurs. So we need some sort of European tournament for those teams.
maybe Rayo Vallecano could host it because they're a European semi-finalist, aren't they? But tell us about the whole gaffer tape.
They come out for the second half and there was a delay and you saw the female assistant referee standing underneath the crossbar and we're thinking, we've got no news and no updates on what the delay is. And then the TV director that glances, takes us towards the corner of the goal, and it's come apart. The net has come off the post and the crossbar. And you don't get those posts behind the goal. The Rayo supporters, they can reach it and they swing it. They're swinging it backwards and forwards. So that's probably the reason why the net has come off the goal. And then we're thinking, oh, this will take a while. Where's the janitor? Where's the caretaker? Where's the groundsman with the necessary equipment? And then we see Danny Cardenas, the goalkeeper, with the tape. And he's struggling to reach the crossbar. And I'm thinking, God, I didn't realise he was that small. Because, I mean, and I joked in the commentary, it's a shame it isn't Thibaut Courtois in goal, because he had no trouble reaching that crossbar. And then the camera pans away, and he's actually standing on a football. Yeah. And someone's holding him on the waist so he doesn't fall and break an ankle at half-time in a La Liga match when your main goalkeeper's part-injured on the bench, getting himself booked and suspended for the next game. And you think, so it's important he doesn't fall off this ball and break his ankle. And just think, where is a ground? It shouldn't be the job of the goalkeeper without a ladder, a small goalkeeper that can't reach the crossbar, to start taking 5 minutes to taping up the goal net. Rio, it's comedy value, but it's wrong. It shouldn't be like that. Inigo Perez is probably going to leave the club, and he's probably thinking, people are saying, where's he going to go? And I'm thinking, well, he's going to go somewhere where they've got four stands, where they've got a training ground, they've got a decent playing surface, and a little bit more money to spend than Rio. So the options are quite as unlimited.
Yeah, yes. And doesn't have to put the nets up himself before the game.
I mean, I just can't imagine it. It's like it's a joke that it could have been anywhere, that goal net. Mm-hmm. But to have the goalkeeper have to do the running repairs is absolutely ridiculous.
Yes. Right, another relegation 6-pointer. Mallorca 1, Valencia 1. Umar Sadiq got an equalising goal in this one. So yeah. It's actually a good point for Valencia, that, isn't it? Because it's the business end of the season. And so just if you can just scrap a point without playing well, then...
Yeah,
all right,
in the circumstances, they got battered in this game. Mallorca wasted so many opportunities, so many chances. Jan Vigili is a really good player. He's still young, but, my God, he was wasteful with his finishing, with his decision-making. A couple of times he shot and he could have passed and it would have been an easy tap-in for a teammate. A couple of times he shot and it was wayward. Good player, potential was there, but they should have been well clear by the time Umar Sadiq equalised for Valencia. So, Valencia are fortunate to get the point here, which just keeps them above Mallorca. But there's no way. We're talking about Sevilla being in trouble. Valencia are as well.
Yeah, 36, aren't they? And Alaves are in the bottom three.
And we talked about Espanyol. Rayo was celebrating the win last night, 38 points. They're not safe. They know that.
Yeah,
and they're level with Espanyol now. So they asked Cabrera after the game, do you think you're in a relegation battle? And he said, yeah, we are.
Yeah, you're obviously 38. Win. It's going to be more than at the current rate. It's going to be more than 38, isn't it? Alaves are in the relegation zone on 33, from 32 played, and Levante are getting a point a game. So even if they carry on at their seasonal average, that's going to take you to 38, 39. But their current form is better than that. The teams at the very bottom.
Alaves were unlucky this week. They're playing Real Madrid away.
Yeah, and nearly got something at the end.
Exactly. So they won't be downbeat about getting beat at Real Madrid. They're going to the game at the weekend thinking, this is our chance to get a result. So
yeah. Valencia they've got this weekend, they've got Girona, and then they've got Atleti between the Arsenal games, I think, which actually you might look at that and think, that's now an opportunity, isn't it?
Yeah. And Girona are in amongst it again.
Yeah. Yeah, 38.
38.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think Osasuna, because I think they're pretty good.
Yeah.
But they're 39, so they're only six games to go. And if we're saying the teams on 38 are not safe, then I kind of think that Osasuna, they need more points.
Yeah, so Osasuna lost at Athletic. Aragiza got a late red. Budimir missed a penalty, basically, didn't they? They're normally ultra reliable to a fairly rubbish penalty, didn't they? So,
Yep, and Guruzeta is... just ticking those little boxes now in terms of, oh, Athletic need a striker. No, he trust him. And he's had to be trusted this year because Sanadi's been injured most of it. And Yaki hasn't been playing up front. And Guruzeta, I think he's delivered Guruzeta. I think the amount of playing time he gets, the goals he gets, I think he's had a good season.
Oviedo won. Alaves, Oviedo 1, Villarreal 1. This one, the old Bill Shankly takes a second to score a goal. This it took Nicola Pepe 6 minutes to score this
I
particular
didn't
goal.
realize it was that long.
Yeah. So
We
he,
must explain.
yes. So he goes. He's running towards the byline, isn't he? Tries a bit of skill. I can't remember who the player is. He goes down, nothing doing. Cuts away the pictures. Cut away to the crowd. The commentator's on about having a chat about something else. And then eventually the ref sort of thinks, "Oh, hang on, what's happened here?" And then they go back and see. And then when you look at it, he is caught, isn't he? He's a foul.
Took a
He's
while. I'm looking for the obvious one. Was the, is he trod on his foot? Has he caught him? No, he hasn't. Oh, but the other leg has whacked him in the back of the calf.
So
So
it
it
did bring him
was
down.
the correct call.
Then they take a penalty that Parejo takes and is saved.
It's going to be makes a good save.
And then they take it back again for encroachment, and then Pepe takes the penalty himself the second time around. That whole process was 6 minutes from when he's fouled to when he scores the goal.
First of all, you're thinking he's a goalkeeper off his line. He wasn't, but it was Ilias Kara who, funny enough, is gets the equaliser.
Yeah.
He's the you see the number seven for Oviedo. He's actually in the arc. He's not in the box,
Yeah.
but he's in the arc, and he's the player that Parejo would score otherwise.
Yeah.
The rebound goes back to Parejo. Ilias Kara gets there and kicks it out for the corner.
Yeah.
If he hadn't encroached, Parejo probably would have slid on the rebound. So
Yeah,
it was all right.
and
It was the right call.
as we all know from our early football education, the only point of the D on the edge of the penalty area is to measure the distance to the penalty spot. It serves no other purpose but in the game than that. So yes, you are encroaching. Right.
And a
And
wise
then
decision to change the taker, I think. Sometimes that doesn't happen. I mean, I'm saying it's wise if Pepe missed, I said, oh, what are they doing? It's, but in this case, it has to come from the player. So if Danny Parejo misses that one, he has to be responsible enough to go, do you know what? I'm not confident. Do you want it? So fair play to Danny Parejo and Nicolas Pepe tucked it away.
Yes, right. Another couple of games. So we're going back up the league. We're swinging right back up the league. Betis got a 3-2 win away to Girona. So actually, I was moaning about the quality of the games. This is actually quite a good game, isn't it? And plenty of entertainment. And they haven't won a league game since February the 15th.
Didn't realise that. Because it's been mixed up with the Europa League,
Which ended in
which was a
disappointment anyway.
shame. Players coming back from injury. Lo Celso's back on the bench. Isco comes off the bench in this one. Bakamba was really good when he came off the bench as well. It was a fun game of football. It's incredible the difference Isco makes. It really is. I mean, Rodrigo Riquelme he comes in as a sub as well. So Pellegrini made changes during the game. It livened Betis up. They look better, and they're going to look better with Isco in the team and Lo Celso when he's 100% fit. So big win for Betis. It just takes them away from the chasing pack. It's they've announced they're 8 points from Atletico. So not concerned yet for Simeone. Still a sufficient gap. And Girona thought they were safe, but they've been dragged back in it. And that was a really, really good game. Enjoyed this one. And Betis livened up, but they've gone out of the Europa League. Suddenly they can refocus. A couple of players back from injury, and they should be right for the top five if that's
This
enough.
fits in with your point about whether there's a fifth Spanish team that's capable of playing in the Champions League, given that when they're out of Europe, they suddenly look like they can play again. And you
Yeah, I
think.
wonder what the situation would be with Betis because they're one of the teams every year, and I know Barcelona are the most high profile, but when it comes every summer, it seems that Barcelona have issues about the financial fair play system. And Betis, probably the last 3 seasons, they've had players they can't register. I don't get it. They get massive support. I don't think they're guilty of overspending in the transfer window. And I mean, they sold Johnny Cardoso this season for big money. So that they exchange income and outgoings pretty well. I can't get my head around the fact that their wages are that high. Now, Betis, in theory, Betis should be capable of being the fifth place in the team in La Liga and spending, let's say, what would be 60, 70, 80 million next summer and bolstering the squad up. I mean, that's the Premier League. That's what Premier League clubs do, all of them. and people don't bat an eyelid. So I don't see why Betis. I'm not saying net spend. I'm saying,
Where does their money go? Yeah.
Bring in 100, go out and spend, I don't know, 100 million next summer.
Yeah.
Sell players for 30, 40 million. Have a net spend of 50, 60 million. And that should be enough to be capable in the Champions League.
Right.
But I don't think that'd be the case.
Right. Villarreal did it. Effectively, so you're not stuck with a load of expensive players that you can't get rid of in the future, which is severe the problem. We missed a game, Terry. Getafe, obviously, they're on the way to the Champions League next season.
Brightening, that would be.
Yeah.
For Europe, the rest of Europe, for UEFA, to have Getafe in the Champions League, besmirching the main tournament in Europe. It must be fearful now.
Yeah,
I think they would love European football. Borderless would. The players would. It brings its problems. They've filled the squad with lone players this season. They've gone from relegation, my belief, really potential relegation candidates. I thought they were going to go down Christmas. They filled the squad up with lone players. How they did it, I don't know. Cristante Zuce, that whole thing was complicated, that they could only sign players after he left in the summer on loan for Crystal Palace. But then clearly during the season, it's clear he's coming back. And they had to go to all different tribunals to be allowed to bring in Martin Satriano, Luis Vasquez, and one or two others. And those new players have come in and just, it's ridiculous how good they've been. And now they're knocking over Real Sociedad away from home. There was an own goal, ridiculous amount of clean sheets. So it's not just the two strikers. They don't score goals. They're one of the lowest scorers in the league. Got one of the best. They got the fifth best defensive record. You got top four and Getafe conceding goals.
Yeah.
But they don't score many. They're down right near the bottom of the goal scoring league. What they're doing is incredible. For relegation candidates to possible fifth place Champions League is absolutely ridiculous. I hope they don't do it, with all due respect to Getafe, because half the squad are going to be leaving anyway.
Yeah.
The manager might leave on the back of, he's done his job again fantastically well, so why doesn't someone come along and take him? I think it would be a disaster if Getafe were to get into fifth. And I mean, all the respect in the world for Getafe, it would be a disaster for them to try and build a squad with no money to compete in the Champions League and straight away avoid relegation next season.
Mm. Yeah,
that would be their remit. We've got to play 8 games in the Champions League. You know, that's going to be fun, but we need up. We need.
It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. Right, we'll leave it there, Terry. You've got what are your plans this afternoon? Are you going drinking with Graham Hunter all afternoon?
Actually, no. I was worried about what I was going to do today, but I bought my training kit. There's a gym in the hotel. Real Betis, Real Madrid tonight, and prep for my 2 games over the weekend. So not too bad.
Right,
I'll be okay.
Right, it starts again tonight, doesn't it? Real Madrid. I think they moved this for their champion. Oh no, what about? Yeah,
I've got a massive complaint though about the microwavable food that's available in Spain.
Oh really?
There's a fair play to them. There's a lack of it. You don't get a lot. And I use the kitchen at work. It's so glamorous, this job. So I'm trying to train myself away from the holy trinity of Burger King, McDonald's and KFC. So trawling around, they're all close by the hotel. It's the easy option. So I'm trying to be healthier. I've had a year of doing it. You can barely get, they just don't do the microwave. We'll use the kitchen at work, microwave dinner.
Business opportunity, Terry. Business opportunity is to bring the whole world of microwavable food.
No, I think it's right. I mean, I can get myself a full Chinese takeaway in England, can't I? For a bag of Indian food that. Yeah. Slam it in the microwave for 3 or 4 minutes, away you go. Here, you're trawling around doing supermarket sweeps looking for a decent. So that's part of my job this afternoon. Do I trawling around looking for ready made microwave dinners that I can eat before I go back on Sunday?
Ah, right. We will leave it there. So we'll be back. Enjoy the football this weekend, Terry, and everybody else. And we will be back with a regular podcast again at the end of this round of games. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.